Goats are reported to have been liberated on the Auckland Island group in the second half of the 19th century as food for castaways. Ram tested on Mount Ver. Then goat bleated unto ram, "Sacrifice your kid Billy, whom you love, for to prove your loyalty. Shove him off the ledge of the ruin on Ver Mountain. Let him fall from your care into the green, green pasture of my shelter, where he will wait for you." And so the next morning Ram slipped away from the thatched pen in which he slept and was, unbeknownst to him, being kept. Biting down on the palm twine that divided him from the tall order he divined, he yanked toward his heart and released the bowline knot. "I will multiply your offspring tenfold," remembered Ram, who, looking at his kid sleeping between two square bales like slices of bread, had his doubts. Bowing his pale, horned head, Ram mouthed a prayer to Goat so that, had rounder eyes been watching, they'd have thought he was chewing cud. "O Goat," he began, "forgiving and all-knowing Goat, how white your beard must be, how bloated your belly. Give me the strength to send my kid Billy 300 feet through the clear morning air, cold as it may be. For though my forehead is thick rock, the brains behind it are clay. They want me to ask if there's any way you can take this cup from my cloven hands, my hoof-shaped bleating heart. But since there's not, fill me with your will. Place it on my tongue like a strange berry, hard yet soon to beat jelly. I'll eat anything, even if it kills me. Rhubarb, cactus, my own flesh if I was hungry enough. Oh, spare him." Finished praying, Ram nudged Billy awake, and the two set out for the mountain where Ram was to offer Billy up or down. After 30 minutes of traversing over thorny, flowerless brambles and gopher holes ransacked by snakes, they arrived at the switchbacks that led to the ruin and stopped. "Dad," asked Billy, "where's the grass you spoke of last night? The red grass you said I'd eat for breakfast. My stomach's bleating and my legs are shaking. I feel as though I'm about to fall over." "Come, my kid," answered Ram. "Let us go up this hillside to see if we can see the grass below." And so they continued on together. When they reached the summit of the mountain and saw the skeleton of the ruin, or the ruins of a skeleton, bones piled so high Ram wondered how many other goats had taken the plunge and died. Ram told Billy to go out on the ledge above the verdant valley and look down to get a view of the ground. "I'll be right behind you," he explained, "but I'm afraid I cannot follow you." Confused but not troubled, wide-eyed but bat-blind, Billy stepped onto the concrete beam as if walking the rotten plank of life, his knees knocking together like a colt's trying to stand in its new world governed by gravity. "Don't look back," Ram warned, "or you might see me for who I really am. Not Ram, but Lamb. Less a goat than a sham." Then he lowered the log of his neck and took a deep breath and began his accelerated charge when a cigar-choked croak that ricocheted off the crags and clouds bellowed, "Hey, dumb goats! Get the hell down from there!" Peering over the edge of the end as if leaning out an open penthouse window, Ram noticed the source of this unintelligible, goatish voice. The hairless, hornless monkey who'd been feeding them for the past 2 weeks and who was now running up the switchbacks like the blinding sparks of a burning fuse.